Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we're at that point in the college football and the NFL season where we are starting to really see some separation. Who are the teams now that we got to start paying attention to in terms of the postseason, both in college and in the NFL? And in the college game, it's starting to sort out some of the teams that we believed in, maybe we don't believe in anymore, and some of the teams we're going to have to start believing in a little bit more. Like, for example, Florida and Georgia. They'll meet in a couple of weeks in Jacksonville. The winner will take over the SEC East. I think Missouri is on that in that list as well, in that combination as well. But if one of those teams makes a run and gets hot and fixes some of the things that are ailing them, makes a run at the SEC championship game, all of a sudden they're in the picture, right? You start looking at the college football season, and this is where teams are going to have to really start separating. We wait for chaos, but really what we wait for is for teams to start weeding themselves out of the four-team race. Now, in the NFL, it's a little bit different. Right, we're looking at divisional races. We're looking at teams on top of divisions. You know, we see the Patriots dominate last night against a team that's not going to be in the playoff contention. But also, where is the NFC North? Green Bay, Minnesota, is Detroit? Do they have enough push to get back up? You look at the NFC West. Here's Seattle. San Francisco is still unbeaten. The Rams making a little bit of a move by beating the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend. We're starting to see this where it's all going to start coming together. And before you know it, in a blink of an eye, we're going to be at that point where you're going to start going, okay, my team needs to win this game could probably afford to lose this game, but really needs to win this game. It's getting there. I know these seasons go by fast. We wait all year for them to occur. And then before you know it, you're like, my God, is it already week 8? Is it already week 9? Yeah, we're heading into week 8 in the NFL and week 9 in the college football season. And before you know it, again, the committee is going to come out with their votes and their teams. And when they do, then you really know we're ratcheting it up towards the end. But we are still processing what this season is meaning so far in the NFL, and that's why we do top 5 and bottom 5. The top teams in the NFL, that's coming up next as Ron and I dissect who is making the list, who is moving up, who is moving out after last weekend's games. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for top 5, bottom 5. We go through the best and the worst of the NFL, and we start with the best. We go from 5 all the way to 1 as we bring you the best teams in the NFL after 7 weeks of play. Are you ready, Mr. Culver?
Yeah.
All right, 5 on my list. Let's start. Number 5. There was a football team that played on the road and did so terribly that their players called out publicly the quarterback. And since that very moment, that quarterback has been electric, good, and they've gone on a 3-game win streak. The Minnesota Vikings are number 5. They are 5-2 with a bullet. That was a good win in Detroit. That's a good Lions defense, and they carved them up pretty good. They have beaten the Giants, they've beaten the Eagles, they beat the Lions. 2 of those games on the road since that loss to the Bears, in which Adam Thielen said, I don't know what we're doing, and Stephon Diggs said, there's truth to a rumor about possibly getting traded. Kirk Cousins has stepped up. Give the man some credit. He has stepped up being publicly criticized when he could have said, hey guys, you can do it to my face. But he's responded. Minnesota's number 5.
Oh, no, I like that. I like that. Number 5 for me, I went with the Ravens.
Oh, very good.
Just the way they haven't been quiet. They've been on the radar now for the last couple of weeks. We've kind of been paying attention to them, but they haven't failed. They keep playing in these tough games. They played against Seattle in Seattle and took care of business, handled business. Lamar Jackson is a revelation. He is this year's Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. I mean, he's really doing great.
And honestly, he's putting together one hell of a MVP campaign.
You know what's funny, and we talked about this yesterday, Pete Carroll really gushed about him, really liked their offense with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's good praise when your opponent's coach says, you know, you normally do the whole praising, you know, you praise your opponent when they beat you. But there was something different. He was really, really impressed with Lamar Jackson. When you watch him, you can see why. You're right. Three straight wins, two on the road as well. Good road win against Seattle. It's a tough place to play against a Seahawks team that's really good. And that's a good pick at 5-2 for the Ravens.
I like it.
All right, number four for me. And listen, I was thinking about moving this team up, and I probably should have. But I'm going to leave them where they're at right now, and that's the Green Bay Packers at four. They are fantastic. They are just we all talked about the defense, right? At the beginning of the season, it was about the defense and whether or not Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur were going to be on the same page. Well, now Aaron Rodgers is starting to put himself in the MVP race. Five touchdowns, ran for another in a Raiders rout. I know I don't want to play him. They're 6-1. They're putting up some points. They're putting up numbers. Their defense is still pretty good. They're doing it without some key players. Green Bay's four. They should be higher. I like the teams ahead of them slightly, but they could have been up to number two in a lot of people's polls.
No, I'm right there with you. I have Packers at four as well. I see nothing wrong with this team right now. They could be higher, but just like you, there's just a handful of teams, or actually not even a handful, three teams that are just a notch above them. Aaron Rodgers is turning it on now.
He really is.
I mean, did he spell out relax a couple of weeks ago and we just didn't hear it?
Yeah, I mean, now he is let's just, find the tape.
He is calm, he is cool, and he is just throwing, he's just putting up points.
Yeah, and remember after week one?
Yeah, they completely dismantled the Raiders. It wasn't even a game.
We were that opening week, that opening game on that Thursday night where it was 10-3, where they beat the Bears, you're like, ugh. I don't know. These two guys ever going to get... They have. They've gotten together. They're fine. They're doing really well. Green Bay at number four. Number three, San Francisco. Look, it was an ugly win because it was an ugly situation. Yep, it was a 9-0 victory over the Redskins, but it was a torrential downpour. Those are scary games because the ball could bounce in a particular way where you end up going, oops, I don't know. We couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. But the ball bounced their way in one particular moment, and they end up stealing the game from us. But that didn't happen. They pitched a shutout. They are unbeaten. You got to give unbeaten a lot of credit. I think we do believe in San Francisco. I'm not waiting for the wheels to fall off this team. I think defensively they're one of the top units in the NFL. I still like the fact that they just offensively they get creative with Kittles and all that. I love San Francisco. I believe in them all year. Now, I know down the road if they end up finishing like 10-6, then I'll probably wake up and go, all right, what happened? But right now they're three.
No, I have the Niners at three too. Listen, it was an ugly win. An ugly, ugly
really
win on
ugly.
Sunday, but you know what? You have to be able to win those ugly games to keep this train rolling. Over the past couple of weeks, I mean, last 3 weeks now, the last three football games they played, they've given up 10 points. That's it.
That's it. Right.
That's it. This defense is for real. And those other teams, they held the Browns to 3 points, that offensive juggernaut that we're still waiting to explode. And then they held the Rams to 7 points. Now, albeit the Rams are a shell of what they used to be, and we're talking maybe a year ago at this time. But still, the Niners, to keep doing what they are doing with who they have, this is fantastic football.
Yeah. And like I said, offensively, they're not super awesome. I mean, they're not, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's not throwing 12, 15 touchdowns already or whatever. George Kittle's great.
But they have no problem putting up points. When you look at...
But they put up points.
What they've done all season long, I mean, they're routinely... I mean, aside if you take this game out, because there's no way you can score points in a rain-filled slosh fest that was. They haven't scored less than 24 points all season, or 20 points all season.
Yep, throw this one out. But you're right. All right, number two on my list. Oh, number two, number three on your list.
Well, that was Niners were number three on my list.
Oh, same thing. Okay,
so number two. I think we have the same top four.
Yeah, I have the New Orleans Saints.
Yep,
I moved the Saints up.
So did I.
I can't believe this. This story is still amazing. I feel like every week I get more and more shocked by this, and I really shouldn't be shocked by this. The Saints have a very interesting dilemma coming up. Drew Brees is coming back to practice this week. Now, of course, you want Drew Brees as your quarterback, but they are playing Arizona, and then they have a bye. I just think you let Teddy Bridgewater play against Arizona and give Breeze even more time to be rested for the comeback. I mean, they're winning games, and they're winning games well.
Yeah.
They went on the road and beat the Bears.
Without a doubt, Breeze should not play this coming weekend and, you know, take the bye week off. Maybe reintroduce him after the bye week.
Yep. You got There's a good little stretch
no
of games coming up.
No reason right now to rush him back. Teddy Bridgewater has exceeded expectations of what we all hoped for.
Oh, my goodness.
We were just sitting there like, God, man, if you could just get 3 wins out of this, the Saints are in perfect position.
And what do you do with Teddy Bridgewater? Like, Teddy Bridgewater now is earning himself starter money.
Oh, he's, yeah.
You know, like, right now, the team's going to be lining up.
It's unfortunate. Maybe the Saints can cut him a deal and say, listen, man, Breeze isn't going to be around a lot longer than it's your team.
Yeah, Breeze is 40.
But at the same time, you look at this, Teddy's going to get so many offers from so many different teams this coming offseason.
And good for him, because if, you know, we talked about this a couple of years ago when he went down in that injury in training camp. And I mean, people were throwing their helmets. They were so aggravated. They couldn't.
Yep.
They knew immediately it was bad, real bad, that the season was going to be shot, right? They just had this feeling it was just going to be terrible. There was a lot of different emotions when you see an injury like that. And I felt bad for him because he was starting to build himself an NFL career, and those kind of injuries could keep you out forever. But he's taken this opportunity, and he has won 5 straight games. And this 5 stretch has included a road wins against Seattle and the Bears, Jacksonville, and a game against the Cowboys when the Cowboys were the hottest team in the NFL.
It's insane what he's been able to accomplish. In fact, I might even take this a step further and say, you know what, the Saints are smart. Maybe put him on the trading block before deadline, because you might get a top first round pick out of this.
You could, yeah, you might. Absolutely.
And because you know you have someone, you know, your Hall of Fame quarterback coming back, maybe you just sit there and go, all right, you know what, we're going to put him up.
And you remember, too, there was a thought that maybe Taysom Hill would be the answer to play that position when they lost to the Rams and Bridgewater couldn't score a touchdown after Breeze got hurt. And I was like, okay, well, maybe. Nope. Teddy Bridgewater was the guy, and he's been the guy, and 5 straight wins later, they're 6-1. All right, number one, I've been ranting about him all morning, the Patriots, another dominating win.
Yeah.
Yes, the schedule is weak, but this defense is historic.
Yeah, and breaking news, they just acquired Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
All right, so the Falcons are already shipping out players.
Falcons have begun to look towards the offseason. Maybe everybody's going to be shipped out pretty soon, except for, I would say, the only two people whose jobs are safe right now are Matt Ryan and Julio Jones
for
the Falcons. But for the Patriots, yeah, what's the one area they're missing? Weapons for Tom Brady.
Yep.
Another, so let's just go out
another
and
offensive
one.
Weapon, yep. They pick Start up, asking around.
They pick up Sanu for a second-round pick.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. And Sanu now will vault his way up into the pantheon of Patriots stars.
Well, not really. I don't think anyone ever vaults into superstardom
Patriots. They don't.
But it's.
But he has a moment where they're on the cover of Sports Illustrated after some 4-touchdown game, and then we never hear from him again.
That, and he'll probably get an invite to the White House later on this year. Because where the Patriots are headed. I'm sorry. I mean, we look at the schedule. I mean, you could talk about their schedule, what they just went through. They still got to play those 3 teams again in the AFC.
Yeah, they do.
AFC East. They do have a tough stretch coming up, but it's not. You look at them like, oh, you can make this look tough as all you want. The Patriots are just going to be able to handle this. Maybe they're not winning by 30 points through these games, but they'll win by 10.
That statistic that I found, where if you take out extra points and field goals and only count when what the Patriots defense has actually given up, not special teams, not any of that. The defense, them scoring, they're outscoring opposition's 20 to 18.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, unreal.
Another stat I heard coming in this morning. I wish I could find more accurate numbers about it, but the quarterback rating, the defense, the Patriots are forcing on opposing quarterbacks. The quarterbacks that they have faced would have a higher quarterback rating if they had just spiked the ball every single play.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Instead of amazing. Instead of what the Patriots are doing to them.
Patriots defense has 3 touchdowns and a safety, and they've only allowed 3 touchdowns themselves. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Historic. Historic. And yep, the schedule is getting tougher, but I don't see any real obstacles.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody built to dismantle what I'm seeing so far.
I don't really see a slip up.
Nope.
I see, you know, their slip up will be, oh, you know, the first half they're not winning. Let's go back to the drawing board and let's come out in the second half and then throw 30 points down someone's throat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
All right, so who's the worst of the worst after week 7? We'll have that for you next. Top 5, bottom 5, continuing SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, it is now time for the bottom 5 of the National Football League. Before we get to that, 1 out of 4 batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so we start with 28. We move all the way up to number 32. 28 on my list. I'm cutting them a little bit of a break, but I really shouldn't because I've been on them all season long. Number 28 is the Atlanta Falcons. I found other teams worse, and Matt Ryan did leave the game with a hurt ankle, and Devontae Freeman did get ejected after stupidly trying to punch Aaron Donald. But the Atlanta Falcons should be better than what they are. They've lost 5 in a row. They're now just basically airmailing the season. Dan Quinn claims he hasn't lost the team, but they ain't going anywhere. I don't know. You don't make a coaching change in the season. I don't mind that, but I don't know how long Dan Quinn's got as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta's 28.
All right, 28 for me. This is where I put the Redskins.
Listen, Redskins, okay.
Yeah, Redskins. I mean, and the only reason why is, I mean, I have 5 teams, I think, that are probably going to be the same 5 you have.
Probably. Just different, maybe a little different order.
Just different order. And the only reason why I give the Redskins a slight pass is because of the conditions of the field, the game that they played in. It's hard to do anything when you're playing in a monsoon. I can't really give them credit and said they held the Niners to 9 points, but when you look at it at the end of the day and you might forget about the weather, it'll say, oh, look, they held the Niners to 9 points. Although yep. They were scoreless themselves, but
yeah, that's true.
This week, I just at 28, just because
bumped them up a bit.
Yeah.
All right, number 29 on my list. That's where I put the Jets. Listen, that team should have been better last night than that. Patriots defense is great, historic, but Sam Darnold looked like he was ready for war going into that game last night. He was all excited. No and nothing. Womp, womp, womp. 6 turnovers. Atrocious. Bad team. I don't know how the Cowboys lost to them, but they did lose to them. But listen, it wasn't the weather. It wasn't anything other than the Patriots defense. You can't get shut out at home on Monday Night Football, and they got shut out at home on Monday Night Football. They couldn't do anything. I don't know what's going on, but the reality of it is this is not a good team. Sam Darnold's got a lot more growing to do. It's sad, too, because they look like with Le'Veon Bell, they were supposed... Remember we talked in our Jets preview that they were going to be a team that may not make the playoffs, but around December, you wouldn't count them out. Well, you can count them out. They're terrible. Jets at 29.
That's where I had the Jets, too. I had the Jets at 29. All the same reasons. I mean, they look lost.
Look lost.
They look like a team that couldn't wait for halftime to watch the Star Wars preview.
Yeah, couldn't wait to run
that's
in.
What the game plan was. That they went in pregame, said, guys, listen, let's just get through these next 2 quarters. We'll head in the terminal. We'll all watch Star Wars together. We'll talk about it. We'll have a good time. And completely forgot that, oh, wait, we're entertaining the nation right now. Playing football. Well, I mean, at least for the first half, they were entertaining the nation. After that, I doubt anyone stuck around to watch that game.
You know what's amazing, though, is what Sam Darnold... Listen, I don't expect you to beat the Patriots. Patriots are great, and this defense is really
good. Expect that at all.
But where is the young just... You know what? I'm confident. I'm young. I don't care. I'm going to... He looked like a deer in headlights. He couldn't get the right protection. He ended up throwing the ball away that McCourty ended up intercepting. I mean, it was... He just... looked again like I don't know what's going on here. I know the Patriots defense is good. I keep repeating that, but there wasn't any moxie that I expect from Sam Darnold. The young sort of, I'm confident. Flinging around a little bit.
It was almost like he had a relapse of mono.
Yeah, completely.
It was, I mean, this game was over before it even started. We knew that by the time I turned it on late. By the time I turned it on, it was already 10-0, and I'm we're not even in the first quarter yet. Are we just spotting Patriots 10 points now? Is that just how it works?
Smug Patriot fans on to Cleveland halfway through the second half.
Yeah, before that, in the game.
Right. All right, so number 30 on my list, that's where I put the Redskins. Coaching change, all of that. Bad weather, 9-0, all that. Just the complete other mess it is, the Redskins. I got nothing more to add.
No, it's number 30, that's where I had the Falcons.
Falcons, okay. You gave them worse.
This team is an abomination of what I would think they are capable of pulling off.
Just massively disappointing. Yeah. I mean, just really massively disappointing.
The Rams haven't played well the last couple of weeks, and you just sit there. I mean, you didn't even make the trip out there.
No.
I mean, that's the bottom line. You didn't make the trip out there. You made the Rams look once again like they're, give us that thought, like they're Super Bowl contenders. They're not. Rams aren't going. The Rams barely will make the playoffs if they do make the playoffs. Falcons, you're terrible. Make that coaching change now. Just do it. Pull the plug, Arthur.
I like Arthur Blank a lot. He seems like a nice guy, but this team is falling fast. I can't
believe this team was in the Super Bowl just a few years ago.
And then the year after that, they lost to the Eagles in the playoffs. You felt like the ship was still good.
Yeah.
That they could just make addition here and make addition there, and they would be right back in a championship contention. What the heck is going on? I mean, five straight losses? I mean, they look abysmal.
And not good losses.
Not good losses either.
No, we're not talking
really
like,
bad losses.
The ball could have bounced either way. No, these are this is terrible.
Nope. I mean, the Titans lost. I mean, the Titans are. That was the last good Marcus Mariota game. Was when he went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and beat the Falcons.
Back.
I mean, gave up 53 points to the Texans. Followed that up by losing to a rookie quarterback in the Cardinals. Losing to the Rams by 27, which should have been more competitive. You're absolutely right. 1-6. Good God. Number 31 on my list, that is the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sorry, man. I should put them at 32. But this is another perplexing situation. Andy Dalton is on the team. It's good for one or two wins this season,
you
right?
You think?
They can't run the ball. They're last in the league in rushing. They don't score. They're putting up 16 points a game. But Andy Dalton should be good for at least one win.
Right, and listen.
Not the playoffs, but one win.
This game, when I tuned in, I saw that they were leading at one point. And I was like, okay, and it's the Jaguars. They got a rookie quarterback.
Right.
Who nobody knew about. Maybe Gardner Minshew slowly starting to fade into that unknown rookie quarterback who just happens to start because the main guy went down type of scenario. I literally thought, like, hey, you know what? This is the game the Bengals could win because they came out. They're doing the damn thing. This is it. The 0-4 streak is done. Couldn't do it.
They
just had to cough it up again. It was like almost as if, they're laying down this season as well. Just not as high profile as, for the Bengals, for me, they're a 31 as well. Obviously, our 32 team is some fish down in Miami.
Look at the Cincinnati Bengals. That first game on the road at Seattle where they played right with the Seahawks, and I thought, you know what?
That was a good loss.
Good
they
loss.
Weren't even in
good
our top five or bottom five.
Threatening team. No, no, and no. This can't be an A.J. Green thing, can it? Without A.J. Green, they can't do anything.
No, it's not. It
can't
not,
be that,
I
can it?
I refuse to believe that.
It's got to be something else.
I mean, all they got was a garbage touchdown late in the fourth quarter.
Is it
they
Zach
scored
Taylor?
One point in the second half.
I think Marvin Lewis was like, shoot, guys, come on. I'm at least a mediocre coach.
I'm at least two wins at this point in the season. Come on.
You brought in a kid who can't do this. Like, give him some room.
And honestly, that might be the real reason right there. I mean, he's so young. Players will probably look at him, not even giving him a chance.
Yeah, he's like 36, 37 years old.
It's terrible.
Right? 0-7. Bengal fans are used to mediocrity, right? Like, we make the playoffs and we don't win, or we're just like, 7-9.
Yep.
0-7. Oh, God. And the Miami Dolphins, of course, are 32. You can probably put that in ink.
Yeah.
The rest of the way.
You can put that in ink and the Patriots at number one in ink.
Never
Can't
forget.
Can't wait for these two teams to play again.
The Miami Dolphins gave up a touchdown on an onside kick. Just letting you know
Enough
what their
said.
Season's like. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we cruise along on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, the dumb, and we do that every single day here on SB Nation AM at this time. So I'm feeling good because I like the Star Wars trailer. We just got done the top five, bottom five, so let's feel even better.
Let's feel even better. You know what? I'm going to... I like when coaches do coach things.
Okay.
And this is one of those coach things that I think we all should get behind. And I got to give it up to Dabo Swinney.
All right, good for Dabo. Let's see what Dabo's done.
Andrew Booth, who's a freshman at Clemson, he's a freshman defensive back, threw a punch during their game against Louisville and promptly was ejected in the third quarter, and it was a blowout game at that point.
Right.
Dabo forced Andrew to ride the manager's bus home instead of flying with the team.
Ooh. Wow. So he had to drive on the bus from Louisville back to Clemson.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And, you know, not a bad punishment.
No. You know, it doesn't hurt the kid very much unless
he got an accident
or something, but you can't participate that.
No snowflake can complain about this, saying, you know
right.
what? Okay. He didn't beat him. He didn't cut him. He didn't berate him on the sideline. Didn't grab his helmet because we seem to get up in arms about people grabbing, you know, face
God,
helmets,
you touch
coaches.
Your face, Max. Forget it.
Yeah. This is just one of those like, hey, bud, stupid on you. Guess what? You're riding the bus home. You're not on the plane with us.
Good for Dabo. That's a good. That is a very good disciplinary act by Dabo.
Yeah, calm, cool, collective, and just you know what, just letting him know you messed up.
Yeah,
you know, there's no.
You did.
I mean, sets a precedent. Dabo has no room for that on his team, and I think that's fine. And again, you brought it up yesterday. Why do football players continue to punch people wearing helmets?
Yeah,
I don't
understand.
Get it.
I never understand that. I would never do that. I know emotions can get the best of you, but isn't that part of your brain goes, no, don't do that. Don't do that. We don't want to get hurt.
I would think you would do more damage to your hand than you would to an actual person wearing a helmet.
Plus, then you're going to get in a fight. Then he's got a helmet. You got a helmet. And then if the guy's bigger, you get in trouble. And then you got a hurt hand. Oh, it's a mess. You don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
God.
So,
yep. Good for him. That was great.
Great little punishment.
That's great little punishment. Okay, so then what's the bad?
The bad of the day is it's actually bad for the NBA. I can already tell you who the MVP will be this year.
All right, let me guess.
Okay.
The MVP of this year is going to be Giannis.
That's a good guess. No.
Okay, but who is it going to be?
The MVP will be Steph Curry.
Oh, why?
Because Michael Jordan came out yesterday and said Steph Curry is not yet a Hall of Famer.
Nice. Well done, MJ. Well done.
If we see Steph Curry just carrying this chip all season long, throwing up massive amount of points, breaking his three-point record when he made like over 400 three-pointers in a season, we have nothing to look to but Michael Jordan to thank him for that.
Shimmying his way to an NBA championship.
It's all MJ's fault.
Yep.
He said he's a great player, but not a Hall of Famer.
What is the deal with Michael Jordan in these things? Does he do these things on purpose, like to motivate guys, or does he just do it to be that guy?
Yeah, I almost feel sometimes Michael Jordan is old man yelling at a cloud.
Yeah, me too.
Because I don't see the point. I mean, first of all, let's look at Steph Curry's career. I think he's done enough already to be a Hall of Famer.
Me too.
What more do you want him to? He's the best pure shooter we've ever seen.
Nobody is saying, Michael, that he's the best player in NBA history.
No.
But there is a criteria for the Hall of Fame that I think Curry's got right now.
I mean, okay, we can expand it even more. Did he revolutionize the game?
Yes. Yeah, of course he did.
I mean, he's brought up the fact, or we're thinking of the fact, like, you know, we need to move the three-point line further back.
Right.
Because of him.
Exactly.
You know, I've even mentioned, it's like, you know what? Because he takes shots from so far out, we need to have a five-point line.
Yes.
Why not?
Completely. Completely.
Because, I mean, that's something that he would go for every single time. If you want these 40-yard three-pointers, make them five, and he'll take them more.
That's right.
But yeah,
Michael
Jordan, man. He is the best pure shooter I think we've seen in a long time. I can't find a comparison to him. He is definitely. He's got the bust in Springfield, Massachusetts already made. They're just waiting for him to retire.
You know, you got a great point. He's gonna have this great year, and we're all gonna go, wow, look at that. He just, you know, he's doing all these great things again. Yeah. And then we'll all be pointing back to this day in October when Michael Jordan said this about Steph Curry.
Yep. Say, yo, he's a good player. He's not a Hall of Famer. What do you mean he's not a Hall of Famer? What more do you need him to do?
That's amazing.
How many rings does he have already? You need him to do it more? You need him to carry the entire team this year like he did the first go around?
But, you know, that's the cool thing about Michael, man. He just loves to do this kind of stuff. He likes to just kind of have a good time.
I mean, that's why.
Trash talk, roast.
Yeah, when I hear this.
Players a little bit.
When I hear this, I just go back to, like, man, he had the greatest Hall of Fame speech ever.
Yeah, he did. He went after everybody. He went after everybody. Yeah, it was a little creepy that you hold that kind of grudge, but that's what he is. But he did go after everybody. Yep. I loved it. So, but yeah, all right. You're right. Curry's now going to be on fire, and everybody's going to be buzzing about him.
He'll be MVP.
All your sports shows will be talking about this again. Another 47-point night for Steph Curry. 32 of them came in the fourth quarter alone. All right, like, oh yeah, God,
we're gonna sit because, I mean, you know, this is a down year for the Warriors. You know, the team totally got ripped apart last year. No Klay Thompson. It's Curry and Draymond Green and a few other people who they hope can step up.
Exactly. So nice job, MJ. Couldn't even make it interesting.
Remember we said we were tired of seeing the Warriors in the finals?
That's right.
We've kind of hinted that because, what, it's been four of the last 5 years or five
exactly.
of the last 6 years or whatever?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy. All right, so then what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is these rumors that are circulating that a few contending teams, I have to emphasize contending teams, might be interested in adding Antonio Brown before the trade deadline.
Okay, give me more on this. Yeah.
That's basically it. None of the teams are mentioned. None of the teams are named. It's just there have been a few thoughts that, you know, people are going to go after Antonio Brown to kind of bolster the roster a little bit more.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth with this because I've had people say to me, do you think he's done? And I go, I don't think he's done. There's something about this league that would make me err on the side of caution by declaring anybody done in this league, right? You'd like to think so, right? He was such a headache and such a pain, and this investigation was serious. These allegations were serious enough to be looked at. I don't know what is going to come out of it. But I never, ever want to say a guy's done.
No, I'm with you on that. I don't say he's done. I would just be surprised if a contending team went out.
Oh, like, I would. Yeah, that would be.
That's where I'm surprised. I'm not surprised, say, you know, if the Redskins are like, why not?
Why not?
You know, I'm trying to think of another team. If the Titans decide, it's like, just throw a flyer at them, see what happens.
When you say contending teams, do you mean contending for a Super Bowl or contending to try to get in the playoffs?
I'm saying contending to try to get in the playoffs.
Okay, I could see the Titans making, like, not the Titans per se, but I could see a team that's like, man, we just need one more kick to win, to do
it. I don't know. I just think that's too much of a headache.
I do, too. You know what? Every time I think, that's interesting. Every time I think about a team sitting in a room and coaches and GM and all, you know, just sitting in a room going, Antonio Brown, I just can't see them pulling the trigger.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if the Packers went after Antonio Brown?
Holy mackerel.
I mean, yeah, on the one hand, on paper, on fantasy value, you're looking at it like, oh, this is a great combo. Aaron right. Rodgers throwing to Antonio Brown all the time. I give it a week. And all the mess is going to start happening up again. And then everyone's just going to be like, oh, my God. And then the Packers are going to cut him.
You know, here's the thing, though. It's what we, you know, on the flip side, it's what we've always said about with the Kaepernick situation, right? Why aren't these teams calling when they have these quarterback problems? It's because in the end, they don't want every question about the kneeling, every question about this, and then going to the other players and going, what do you feel about him? What do you think of him? What do you think about him kneeling? What did you make of all that controversy? And the players like, holy mackerel, it was just much easier when we didn't have him here. Like, I don't want to answer all these questions.
Yeah, it's bad enough that I have to answer why our defense gave up 30 points today. Now I got to answer.
Now you're asking me to take a stand on this guy and what he did 3 years ago and all of that and dredging that up again. Every other questions. That would be the similar situation with Antonio Brown. You can bring Antonio Brown the talent in and it would make sense, but Antonio Brown the distraction in, again, it would be one after another, after another, after another. And you'd go, oh, God, I can't. There's every day it's a conversation about this guy, and every day the focus is on this guy. Every news report, they all live in the community, right? They all live there. They all watch the news. They all know what people are buzzing about. They wouldn't want that. They wouldn't want the Antonio Brown saga to be the thing that is defining their run towards the playoffs. So I get it, but at the same time, I don't quite turn off the never play again thing.
I feel pretty confident.
I learned my lesson with Michael Vick. I learned my lesson with Michael Vick. I remember, and I was younger and more naive then when I said, I remember saying on the radio, oh, no one will ever take Michael Vick. No, Michael Vick will never get a job when he gets out of prison. Never. And I was wrong. 2 years later, he's back in the league.
Yep.
And not only was he back in the league, he was good. Yeah, he had some good seasons.
I have no doubt, if Antonio Brown came back in the league and he's paired in the right situation with the right quarterback, he's going to make noise. It's going to be a good football team. He's going to put up points. He's going to get the yards. He's going to demand double teams and all that fun stuff. It's just the X factor is that headache in the locker room that I don't think anyone needs, especially if you're a contending team, which means you have things moving in the right direction right now. We're almost at the midpoint of the season. You have things moving in the right direction. A team like the Packers, a team like the Colts, who could totally benefit with adding Antonio Brown. I think it would be devastating for them to make a change.
Yeah, and how does that affect young players who are learning what this league is all about, et cetera, too much.
Yeah,
I think
you're absolutely right. I mean, it's one of the things seldom goes untalked about Kaepernick. We're always about, oh, Kaepernick has a skill level. Why are the Jets playing Luke Falk and not giving Kaepernick a try? We're not saying start Kaepernick, but Kaepernick's not even going to try. And it literally comes down to, does the locker room want to answer this question, that question, this question, that question? Because that's all they're going to get fed.
That's it. That's all you're going to get.
All of a sudden it becomes, maybe it's only a couple of weeks, but for those couple of weeks, that could totally destroy a team.
Right. And then that anthem issue becomes the local talk show fodder again, and it just brings it back up again, and then more conversation about it. And it's just too much. It's not worth it. He doesn't bring the kind of value to tip the scale in his favor with all that other stuff, right? And I can see people making that same evaluation with Antonio Brown. His talent is there, but he doesn't quite tip the scale enough for us to deal with all of the headaches, and again, in this investigation and all of that, to add to our value in trying to make a run towards the playoffs. We have things going. We are a contending team to make the postseason. Yes, he could help us, but if he also distracts us, then you could put, this could be disastrous for us down the road.
And so, everyone will point, that was the moment that it fell off the rails.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Last hour I told you what was starting tonight. The other thing that is starting tonight. That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one out of four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. All right, the World Series starts tonight. Game one.
It does.
Yes.
Oh, I would not
Garrett
have known
Cole
that.
Garrett Cole and Max Scherzer.
Yeah, no, I'm still not happy about that. Sorry. Still not happy about it being Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer. It should have been Verlander versus Scherzer.
Should have been Verlander versus Scherzer is right from the thing. Now, how many days is Verlander off since he last pitched? He pitched Friday, so he's well-rested.
Yeah, he's rested enough.
He's rested enough, right? He pitched Friday, so it'll be 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. Yeah, I mean, this would be his fourth day of rest, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I guess, but I mean, you probably have a better chance of resting him one extra day.
Well, you have
day.
Cole completely rested.
Yeah.
Because Cole didn't go on the back end.
And to be fair, during the ALCS, Cole didn't get to pitch at home.
Right.
So this way he gets to pitch at home.
Do you think this series, I mean, the Astros are heavy favorites in this series. Do you think this is a competitive 6-7 game series? I didn't think the Astros like win this thing in 5. Or do you think the Nationals win this thing in 5? I mean, heck, do it on the flip side. Or do you think this goes deep? Because I go back and forth with that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely say at least goes 5. I see.
Yeah, I
see the Nationals getting at least one win.
But they are heavy favorites. The Astros are heavy favorites in this series. And I'm looking at this going, maybe not so fast. Maybe not so fast. Look, people want to point to, look, the Nationals are rested. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I've seen teams, we talked about this with the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals, remember? Like the Cardinals, the Braves were like on cruise control last half of the season, right? The Cardinals had to fight every single game all the way to the end to try to determine where they were going to be seated, even if they would make the playoffs. It doesn't, to me, it's irrelevant. I watched the Rockies have a 9 days between the NLCS and the World Series, and they got swept by the Red Sox in 4 back in 2007. So I don't buy that for a second. But this pitching that both of these teams have, it is a blink first type of thing, right? I mean, what if Max Scherzer gives you 7 scoreless tonight for the Nationals and Gerrit Cole gives you 7 scoreless? The bullpen is still iffy for the Nationals. It's been a lot better than the beginning of the season. But the pitching makes this an equalizer thing. But the Astros are heavy favorites. I think it has to do with their bats. I think they have a deeper, more efficient lineup through the batting lineup than the Nationals. But we'll see.